Hare Krishna. I would like to thank everyone for coming this afternoon to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. To come together to hear and chant the names and glories of Lord Krishna is the sublime means by which we not only sanctify our own hearts, but we sanctify the entire atmosphere around us. This tradition of devotees coming from all directions to perform kirtan and harikatha was personally practiced by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself in order to show the way by his example. When Lord Sri Gauranga appeared in this world, he expressed a type of mercy which is unique and unparalleled. Although Lord Chaitanya is the essence of all avatars, Tava Avatar Sara Siromani, he is the crest jewel of all incarnations of the Lord. He played the role of his own devotee to teach us how in this age of Kali Yuga we can purify our hearts and transform our consciousness into Vrindavan, the spiritual world. While living in Navadvip, for one full year, the Lord and his devotees would assemble in the house of Srivas Thakur to chant and dance throughout the entire night. What to speak of what type of kirtan performances they would have during the day. Vrindavan Das Thakur tells that just as Lord Krishna was born in Mathura but performed his most intimate pastimes in Vrindavan, similarly, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born in the house of Jagannath Mishra. He performed his most intimate pastimes in the house of Srivas Thakur. Yesterday was the disappearance day of Srivas Thakur. Today, with your permission, I would like to try to speak something in brief about the significance of Srivas Thakur's participation in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Lord Chaitanya not only played the role of his devotee to teach us good lessons, but he also taught us the most important subjects through his own devotees. Although Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Yuga Avatar who has come to teach us how to achieve the ultimate perfection of life through the chanting of the holy names, he empowered Srila Thakur Haridas to be the Namacharya. And with his own mouth, the Lord told us that he taught the importance of Harinam Sankirtan through Srila Haridas Thakur. Through Srivas Thakur, Lord Chaitanya taught us how he is so much conquered by the love of his devotee, and how anyone who is dear to his devotee also conquers his heart. This is a great mystery that only Vaishnavas can understand. In this age of Kali, it is very widespread that people pursue the path of yoga or religion with the idea that they will become God, that there is unlimited differentiation in this world. But when we rise above the modes of material nature, become liberated from their influences, we realize the oneness of everything, in the sense that all variety ceases to exist, for it is all an illusion. Thus we merge into the undifferentiated absolute truth. This conception goes by the name mukti. However, there is a principle far higher than that. Aham Brahmasmi is a very preliminary state of self-realization. Lord Chaitanya taught Sanatana Goswami that Jivera Swarupoi Krishnera Nityadas, that is the actual constitutional position of the soul, that we are the servants of Krishna. That service is eternal. Through the process of service, we cleanse our hearts and gradually realize our eternal relationship with Krishna. In this world of birth and death, so much of our happiness and joy is dependent on relationships. Without loving, caring relationships, people's hearts are very empty, void of fulfillment. That is the nature of the soul. The ultimate experience of pleasure in this world comes through relationships, and the ultimate experience of the spiritual world is our relationship with Krishna. So the Vaishnava Acharyas have taught this, that we are eternally meant to serve Krishna. But Lord Chaitanya, who is the Supreme Lord himself, taught us how to best serve him. Who knows better what pleases Krishna than Krishna? It is the tendency in this age of Kali to try to justify what we like in the name of pleasing Krishna. You may be right, and you may also be wrong. Therefore, we need the Guru, the sadhus, and the Shastra to tell us clearly what actually pleases Krishna. This morning, we were asked a question during Srimad Bhagavatam class. How do we know when we are dealing with others, performing our duties, whether we're following the dictations of our own mind, or whether we're actually doing what is the desire of Krishna? One time at New Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada was giving his darshan, and one devotee, he was so happy to be with Srila Prabhupada, so he decided to ask a question. It sounded like a good question, the type of question perhaps any of us could ask. He said, "Srila Prabhupada, when I'm out preaching, distributing your books, and I explain the importance of accepting a spiritual master, people often tell me that I don't need a spiritual master because God is in my heart. He is my spiritual master." Have any of you heard this question before? Would you like to ask Srila Prabhupada this question if he was here? Well, I will tell you what would have happened if you did. Srila Prabhupada said, "Why do you waste my time with these rascal questions? I have put the answer in my books. Do you not read my books? Why do you not read my books? Your only business is to cause me suffering. You are a rascal." Hare Krishna. He says, "What does it say in my books? You tell me." The devotee was quite quiet. Tesham satata yuktanam vachatam priti purvakam dadami buddhiyokam tam yena mamupayantate. For one who worships me with love, constantly engaged in my devotional service, to him I give direction from within the heart. So if we are not actually worshiping Krishna with love, then it is very difficult to distinguish what is the voice of Krishna in my heart and what is the voice of the illusory energy who has captured our heart. Our mind is the residence of Maya. And Maya is Krishna's own energy. She can appear in so many forms and speak in so many voices, but her only business is to deceive us. For those who are in the modes of goodness, passion, or ignorance, Maya Devi has her own process according to our particular state, which is very unique just for us, how to deceive us. That is why it is important that we have the association of devotees, that we have senior Vaishnavas to guide us, and we have the Holy Scriptures, then we can understand everything as it is. Truth is to understand that we are all part of Krishna. We are in Him and we are His. The path to truth is to please Krishna. Samsidhir Hari Toshanam. Whatever our occupation, whatever our status, the goal of life is to please Krishna. If Krishna is pleased, He could reveal all spiritual truths to us within our heart. Recently, I was speaking to one of my god brothers. He was telling me that one lady who was a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, she sincerely and faithfully just served Srila Prabhupada's instruction for many years of her life. She never had a big, big position. She would do cooking, do cleaning, do some deity worship. She liked to do secretarial work because that was what was asked of her. Just a very, very simple, straight Hare Krishna devotee of Srila Prabhupada's movement. Simply eager to serve, eager to help other Vaishnavas. She contracted a terminal disease where she became quite helpless. And her husband, who was a very caring and loving Vaishnava, spent a lot of his time trying to just assist her in coping with this very painful situation she was in. This girl, the only books, spiritual books she ever read in her life were Srila Prabhupada's books. She chanted her rounds faithfully every day. She was very strict in following the regulative principles. And she just did very simple, humble services. She discussed different types of service to be offered to Krishna. She discussed the topics that Prabhupada explains in his books with her friends. In the last weeks of her cancer, she began to speak things that devotees were trying to understand more deeply. And when her husband sincerely asked her, "Please tell me, you know, what are the experiences you're going through at this time?" She said, "I really cannot tell you. It's very private." And she asked, he requested, "Please." She began to explain to him what Krishna was revealing to her within her heart. I'm not justified to explain the details, but he actually revealed to her her age, her form, her service, her name, her eternal swarup in the spiritual world. And a few days later, chanting Hare Krishna mantra, she left this world. If we simply please the spiritual master, he can reveal everything to us. She never rehearsed these types of topics. In fact, she never read a book or heard a lecture about these subjects in her whole life. She was just basic philosophy of Krishna consciousness. But because she was humble and dedicated in a spirit of servitude, everything was revealed to her through the causeless mercy of Guru and Gauranga. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us how to please him by revealing a higher principle than being a servant of Krishna. And that is Das 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 Anudas. Gopi Bhartur Padakamala Yora Das Das Anudas. To be the servant of the servant of the servant of Lord Krishna. Yesterday we sang a beautiful song where Bhakti Vinod Thakur sings, Tumi to Thakur, to mara kukur. Very simple and sublime. Krishna, you are my Lord and I am your dog. And Srila Prabhupada would often explain that in the English parlance there is the saying, love me, love my dog. In India, you cannot understand this philosophy. But in the West, it is said dog is man's best friend. If you love a person's dog, the person naturally loves you. I have seen, if you compliment the dog, the person becomes eternally indebted to you. What to speak if you pet it? Or give it some food to eat. Because in the West, dogs are very dear to people. They're usually the only types of species that people could get along with over a duration of time. So, I remember speaking to people in the West, and the greatest competition of a family, this is a true story, please be ready for this revelation, the greatest competition of the family was everyone wanted to love their dog and deal with their dog so nicely that the dog would sleep in their bed at night. And everyone else was very envious if the dog was sleeping in someone else's bed. So Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wants to be Krishna's dog, simply obedient to Krishna's desire. A trained dog, you say sit, he sits. Lay down, lays down. Roll over, rolls over. You throw something, he brings it back. You tell him bark, woof woof, he barks. Like that. Simply, no false ego. Just doing the will of the master. That is the idea. Those who love Krishna become so dear to Krishna. to show our love for those persons and to serve them, that is the highest religious principle. Because that is what most pleases Krishna. A Kanishta Adhikari, the lowest status of a devotee, is one who sees Krishna in the temple and worships Krishna, but does not properly honor, respect, and serve the devotees. Lord Chaitanya appeared as the Panchatattva. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. And this Panchatattva plundered the storehouse of the treasure of love of Godhead and distributed the contents profusely without discrimination to the world. Within the Panchatattva, Srivas Pandit represents the bhakta, or the devotee. So how Krishna revealed to the world the secrets of bhakti through his devotee. When Lord Chaitanya was living as the great Nimai Pandit, a scholar of Sanskrit, he was highly respected by everyone in Navadvipa because he was the most learned scholar. He already defeated Keshava Kashmiri, the Digvijay Pandit. In doing so, Nimai became the world champion scholar. There were so many people standing in line to become his student. But the devotees, headed by Srivas Pandit and Advaitacharya, they simply prayed to Krishna that please deliver Nimai from this useless existence of scholarship and make him a devotee. In fact, one time, walking along the bank of the Ganges, Lord Chaitanya Nimai Pandit came across Srivas. And Nimai, knowing Srivas to be a great Vaishnava, actually offered his obeisances and took dust from his feet. And Srivas told him that this material world is full of nothing but temporary illusions. Why do you waste your precious human form of life in the pursuit of mundane knowledge? It is all useless waste of time. You should worship Krishna. That is the only truth. You should chant the holy names of Krishna. While the whole world was praising him for such a great feat of learning Sanskrit scripture so well, Srivas Pandit was chastising him. He told him it's all a useless waste. And Lord Chaitanya, in respect for such a devotee, he said, "Thank you very much. Because you have blessed me, you will see that very soon I will take initiation from a proper spiritual master and then I will worship Krishna also." The Lord wanted to show us that without the blessings of great souls, without the prayers of great Vaishnavas beseeching Krishna to give mercy to us, there is no hope of our really receiving the mercy of Krishna. Very soon after that, he went to Gaya accepted Ishwara Puri as his guru and came back to Navadvip, displaying the most ecstatic symptoms of love of Godhead. It was the great joy of all the Vaishnavas when Srivas Thakur heard from Sriman Pandit that Nimai has now dove deeply into the ocean of love of Godhead. He doesn't lodge rhetorical, logical arguments anymore. He simply begs everyone to tell him about Krishna. Srivas Pandit was so happy that this is the prayer we've been longing for. And he spoke a Bengali verse which means, let our family of Vaishnavas grow unlimitedly. So they understood he was a great devotee, but the devotees had not yet understood his true identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And one of the first revelations of this truth was revealed to Srivas Pandit. You see, the Lord and the devotees were having loud kirtans in house of Srivas Thakur, especially when Lord Chaitanya would induce the devotees to chant and dance. How loud was that chanting? How beautiful was that dancing? They just literally offered every bit of their devotional energies to the Lord through the process of chanting the holy names. Because this is what kirtan is. It is not a ritual. It is not simply a form of spiritual entertainment. Lord Chaitanya and his devotees taught us that kirtan is the means of attracting Krishna, the means of awakening love of Krishna. And for those who are pure, the ultimate means of expressing our love for Krishna. By putting our heart, our soul, our everything into Hari Kirtan as an offering to the Lord. So the atheistic people, they were very much disgusted by these kirtans. They were thinking that these crazy Vaishnavas, they keep us up all night. We need to sleep so that we could make money, because without money we can't properly enjoy our senses. That's the purpose of life. And we're being disturbed by these people, loud chanting. These people are crazy. They're polluting the environment with this loud sounds. It's very interesting. Some time back I was standing in front of the temple and one of our neighbors said the exact same thing to me. Why do you people pollute the environment with these loud screaming? Hare Krishna. So I was very happy when he said this. I was thinking, we are bona fide. Lord Chaitanya has blessed us through this person's mouth. So, of course, Srila Prabhupada was respectful. When he was living at 26 Second Avenue, when they would have Mangal Arti, he would chant very softly, just clapping hands and singing softly. He told the devotees to respect the neighbors. And when they did get too loud, the neighbor upstairs would pour water on the floor, and the water would leak through from the ceiling and go on all the devotees, something like monsoon. He was respectful to a particular limit. So these people were so angry. It wasn't the loud sounds that disturbed them. It was their envy. If you envy Krishna, you will naturally envy Krishna's devotees. And we should actually see that way. When we feel envious of another devotee, we should be able to study and analyze and come to the conclusion that I'm not envious of this devotee. I'm envious of Krishna. Krishna's opulences are manifesting through this devotee, and therefore I am envious. If you're not envious of Krishna, you cannot be envious of anyone. That was Arjuna's qualification. He was not envious of anyone. Therefore, he could perfectly hear the words of Krishna and digest them. So these people would come together, and their satsang was different. It was asatsang. They would come together simply to blaspheme Krishna and his devotees. Satsang means to glorify Krishna and his devotees. And especially, they were after Srivas Pandit, because they considered him the leader. One day they were describing how, because of their loud chanting, the Muslim king is on a boat, several boats, with soldiers. They're coming to Navadvip to punish everyone because the loud chanting of the names of Hindu gods is being performed. And we know this, Srivas. He's created such a situation to get us in trouble, and then he'll run away and escape, and we will all be plundered and imprisoned, tortured and beaten. Another blasphemer said, I've told you long ago, why don't we listen? We should tie up Srivas. We should capture him. We should beat him. We should turn him over to the king. We should annihilate his house and throw the pieces in the Ganges, for no one has any remembrance that it ever existed. Hare Krishna. So Srivas heard this news that the Muslim king actually was on boats coming to Navadvip to punish. So he felt that due to him, so many disturbances were coming upon the devotees. So he went in his puja room to worship Lord Narasingha Dev. Meanwhile, Lord Chaitanya was walking on the banks of Ganga, and some people saw him. They were thinking that this Nimai, why is he just walking so fearlessly when the Muslim king is in a boat about to arrive in Navadvip with his soldiers? Somebody else said, I know why. He's pretending to be indifferent and fearless so that he can escape, and then all of us will get in trouble. So the Lord didn't care anything for these people's words. But as he was near the Ganga, he happened to see a herd of cows. The cows were mooing, and they were jumping and dancing. Their tails were raised. Sometimes they were playfully fighting. Lord Chaitanya, immediately upon seeing these cows on the bank of the river, entered in his mood of Krishna. And he cried out, "I am he! I am he!" He ran directly to the house of Srivas, which is known as Srivas Angam, and is non-different than Vrindavan Dham. There he started crying out very loudly for Srivas to come. He was pounding on the door. He pounded the door right open. And there he was in Srivas's puja room. Srivas was worshipping Narasimha Dev, and Lord Chaitanya called out in a very, very thunderous voice, "I am he, the Lord that you worship is here." Srivas Thakur turned around, and Lord Chaitanya manifested the divine form of Narayan, holding a conch shell, chakra, club, and lotus flower, with four arms, beautiful blue complexion, decorated with golden ornaments, casting a merciful glance on Srivas with his lotus-like eyes. Lord Chaitanya told to Srivas that, "Why are you afraid? When I am here, there is nothing to fear. Now you sing my praises and you worship me." Srivas Thakur began to offer a beautiful prayer, expressing how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has a beautiful blackish complexion, lotus eyes, decorated with forest garland and a brilliant golden colored cloth. He plays upon his flute standing in his threefold bending form. He's the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, the very life and soul of all the residents of Vrindavan. And he has appeared in many incarnations. As Lord Ramchandra, he killed Ravana. As Hayagriva, he rescued the Vedas. As Narasimha Dev, he protected Prahlad and annihilated Hiranyakashipu. As Vamana Dev, he cheated Bali Maharaj. Lord Nimai is the source of all these incarnations. And today, he who was worshipped and meditated upon by all the demigods, headed by Brahma and Shiva, is standing in my very house. Today my home, my family, my riches, my ancestors, everything has become perfectly delivered from the cycle of birth and death because the Lord has revealed himself to me. He prayed that those same very lotus feet that are personally worshipped by Lakshmi Devi herself, the goddess of fortune, is my only shelter in life. It is said that anyone who hears with a sincere heart the prayers of Srivas Thakur will become the eternal servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then Lord Chaitanya told Srivas, "Bring your family, bring your servants, your maidservants, everyone in the household. Come here and worship me." Srivas gathered everyone around. They all came before Lord Chaitanya. He and his good wife Malini, they worshipped the Lord, first with incense, then with ghee lamp, then with flowers and chamara. They offered arti, they offered bhoga, they offered sweet-scented oils and garlands. They sang the beautiful praises of Lord Gauranga. And everyone in the household was able to see the opulent forearm form of Vishnu. The Lord then placed his lotus feet on the heads of everyone in Srivast Thakur's household. Then he spoke. Srivast, you have nothing to fear. Yes, it is true that the Muslim king may be coming to punish us. But I am the supreme Lord and controller of all living entities. If I do not give him the inspiration to punish you, then he has no power to do so. But if he goes against my will and comes to punish you anyway, then I'll tell you what I will do. I will get on the boat that he's traveling in, and I will reveal my opulences to him, and then he will get down from his throne and worship me. But if due to the misuse of his independence, he does not get off his throne to worship me, then I'll tell you what I will do. Please hear from me my plan. I will say to the king that you bring the Qazis, that chant your scriptures, sing your hymns, make these animals cry in ecstatic love of Godhead. And they will sing, and they will chant, they will recite. But the animals will just stand there in total boredom. And then I will go out to the forest and grab a wild elephant and bring it back. And then I will demand all the elephants, horses, animals, and birds to come forward. And I will begin to chant the holy names of Krishna. And all of these animals will start rolling in the ground, shedding incessant tears of ecstasy, as in their own way they all chant the holy name. Then the Qazis and the Mullahs will start weeping in ecstasy chanting. Then the king will fall from his throne rolling on the ground weeping in ecstasy chanting the holy name. And if you do not believe me, Srivast, watch what I am about to do. Then he turned to Srivast Thakur's little niece, a 5-year-old girl of the name Narayani. He said, Narayani, chant Krishna's name and weep in ecstasy. Little Narayani began to call out, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Tears started pouring from her eyes like torrents of rain. She fell to the ground in ecstasy, chanting the holy names. When the devotees saw this, they had complete faith in the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And from that day on, Narayani became one of the most precious, intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya. In fact, Lord Gauranga would personally feed her the remnants of prasad from his own plate. Some years later, she became the mother of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, the author of one of the original biographies of Lord Chaitanya, Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. After revealing this sublime miracle, Lord Chaitanya blessed the family members, the servants, and the maidservants of Srivast's house by filling their hearts with eternal, ecstatic, loving devotion to Lord Krishna. in this particular lila, Vrindavan Das Thakur explains, this is the benediction that comes on those who are dear to the Lord's surrendered devotees. There is no greater benediction than somehow or other becoming dear to the heart of a great Vaishnava. Because Krishna's love comes into this world through his devotees. It is not an ordinary occurrence. It is causeless mercy. And how we reciprocate with that affection, with that mercy, with that love that comes through the Vaishnavas will determine how we reciprocate with Krishna. On another occasion, Lord Chaitanya performed the Mahaprakash Satpraharya Lila, where for 21 hours he was completely absorbed in his mood of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This was something very rare. Because in the role of a devotee, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would very aggressively deny any glorification, insinuating that he was the Supreme Lord. He would hold his ears with his hands and cry out, Vishnu, Vishnu, I am the eternal servant of God. The living entity can never can become the absolute truth, Krishna. Every now and then, in the ecstasies of love for his devotees, he would reveal momentarily his supreme opulence. But in Srivas Thakur's house, for 21 hours, he was continually absorbed in revealing himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead to his devotees. One night, the devotees were having kirtan, That day, the devotees, during their kirtan, would become very much immersed. And from time to time, they would go to the Ganges to take bath. But one day, one of the very simple maidservants of Srivas Thakur, whose name was Duki, she was personally running to the Ganges, getting vessels of water and bringing them back and lining them up nicely so that the devotees could just bathe right there at Srivasangam. Such a menial servant. Duki was not highly educated. She was just a very simple maid servant. Lord Chaitanya was dancing and singing so beautifully. And she would see with her own eyes the beautiful golden form of Gaurasundara in kirtan. How many of us would be spellbound in utter gratitude to see the Lord dancing? But she didn't even look, hardly at all. She was too busy serving. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say, do not try to see Krishna, but try to serve Krishna in such a way that he wants to see you. She really lived by this principle. Instead of looking at the beautiful form of Lord Chaitanya dancing in ecstasy, she was running back and forth getting water. She wanted to please the Lord. She didn't want to enjoy the Lord. But the Lord is in everyone's heart.
So he asked Srivas Thakur, who has brought all this water here from Ganga? And Srivas said, the maidservant Duki has done it. Lord Chaitanya said, everyone should call her Suki. In my heart, the name Duki is not accepted. In my heart, I accept her to be Suki. Duki means miserable. Suki means blissful. In pronouncing this statement, she attained the ultimate perfection of life. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted her as his eternal servant and revealed to her her eternal identity in the spiritual world, filled her heart with ecstatic love and devotion. Why? Because she was the servant of his servant. Because whatever she was doing was simply to try to assist Srivas Thakur in his service to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. She didn't try to approach him directly. She accepted Srivas as her master and simply wanted to please him by assisting him in his service to the Lord when the Lord was in his home. This is the result. Again, it is explained what a treasured benediction it is to be the servant of the servant of the Lord's devotee. In this case, it is explained that by shaving your head, putting on saffron robes, you will not get the mercy of Krishna. Even if you have great wealth, opulence, beauty, even if you're a great scholar with so much knowledge, you will not get the mercy of the Lord. Only if you're like Duki. If you are humble, sincere, servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord, will the perfect mercy of Krishna come into our lives. That night, after about 2 hours from sunset, the son of Srivas Thakur, who had a fever, left the body. So the ladies of the house were gathered around his dead body and they were weeping very loudly. Srivas Thakur happened to hear that and quickly ran into the room. He saw his son laying dead in front of his eyes. He looked at the weeping family members and friends. He told them, you know what is the truth. You should give up this crying. There should be no grief. Even a most sinful person, if they die hearing the holy name and glories of Krishna, they become liberated. My son is so fortunate that he left his body hearing the Harinam Sankirtan of Lord Chaitanya and his devotees. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, is personally dancing in our house with his own mouth. He is inspiring everyone to loudly chant the holy name. In this environment, my son is so fortunate that he died. He has returned to the spiritual world of Vaikuntha. Of this, there is no doubt. I only wish that I could be so fortunate. You should all wish that you could have such an auspicious death. Now, if you wish to cry, do it silently in your own hearts. But don't tell anyone what has happened, because if your weeping disturbs the ecstatic dancing of my Lord Sri Gauranga, then I will tie a pot around my neck and drown myself in the Ganges today. After speaking these words, Srivas Thakur went back out into the kirtan, and with a big smile on his face and tears of ecstasy in his eyes, began dancing with Lord Chaitanya and the associates. The kirtan went on throughout the entire night. Little by little, gradually, the word started leaking out amongst the devotees of what had happened. Lord Chaitanya stopped the kirtan. He said, I feel that there is some unhappiness in the auspicious home of Srivas Pandit. Please tell me, Srivas, has anything inauspicious taken place? And Srivas, the father of the dead child, he said, with a blissful smile on his face, my Lord, with your moon-like face in my house, nothing could possibly be inauspicious. There is only joy. Then some of the other devotees explained to Lord Chaitanya, actually, Srivas Pandit's son died tonight. Lord Chaitanya said, what? What? When did the child die? They explained, it was about 7.5 hours ago. But Srivas Thakur did not want to say anything, because he did not want to disturb your ecstatic love during the kirtan. Upon hearing this, Sriman Mahaprabhu cried out, Govinda, Govinda, began to weep, incessant weeping. He literally fell to the ground, weeping incessant tears of love for his devotee, Srivas. With a faltering voice, he cried out, how could I ever leave the company of such a dear devotee as Srivas Thakur? He loves me so much that he does not even express grief for the death of his own son just to please me. How could I ever give up his company? As Lord Chaitanya was weeping and weeping and weeping, the devotees could not understand what he said and why. Which Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur explained that Lord Chaitanya knew that very soon he would take sannyas and leave Navadvip and no longer be in the constant association of Srivas. His mercy to chase after the conditioned souls and give them Krishna Prema, he even sacrificed that which was most dear to him, the constant association of devotees like Srivas. When Lord Chaitanya wept and wept, the devotees somehow or other pacified him and told him that we should perform the last rites for the child. Lord Gauranga entered the room where the dead child lay. He spoke to the dead body. Please tell me, why have you left the auspicious home of your father, Srivas? to everyone's great amazement, the child sat up and began to speak. He said, "My dear Lord, you are the supreme controller of all controllers. Whatever is your desire, I must obey. By destiny, according to your arrangement, I have taken birth in the auspicious home of Sri Vas Pandit. And I have heard your beautiful kirtans and had your divine darshan. But now, due to my destiny, I must leave this auspicious place and take another body. Where I will go, what form I will be in, is simply according to your desire, my Lord. My only prayer is that wherever I may be, I may never forget you. I may always associate with your devotees." One's mother, one's father, one's friends, one's children, these are all temporary relationships in this world. You are the one and only supreme father, mother, friend, and master of everyone. Therefore, with your permission, I will now go. I beg forgiveness for any offenses I have committed to you or your devotees. I offer my obeisances and pray for your mercy. Then the child lay down and became silent. Upon hearing the transcendental knowledge spoken by the child of Srivast Thakur, all the family members, they became blissful. All the pangs of grief within their heart went to a distant place. The family members of Srivast fell at the feet of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they all prayed that you are our father, you are our mother, you are our friend, you are our master, you are the all in our life. Our only prayer is that in any birth we may take, we will always be in the association of your devotees. We will always offer our lives in your loving service. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then told Srivast that, "Why should you be unhappy by a situation like this? Nothing can make you unhappy. Anyone in the world who sees you becomes filled with happiness." And because myself and Lord Nityananda are your two sons, you will never find a moment of unhappiness in your life. In saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught a very important message to the world. That Srivast Thakur was so exclusively dedicated to giving satisfaction to the Lord, that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda in reciprocation formally declared their relationship as the sons of Srivast Thakur. Then they performed the last rites by carrying the body of the child to the river Ganga. They bathed in the Ganga, and everyone
very happily return to Shiva Sangam to chant the holy names. Soon after this, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Navadvip and entered into the renounced order of life. Srila Prabhupada explains that Srivas Thakur could not bear living in Navadvip without the constant vision of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he moved to the village of Kumarahatta. If you remember, last year, during our Gaur Mandala Bhumi Parikrama, we visited Kumarahatta. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling during one of his attempted visits to go to Vrindavan, as he was returning to Navadvip, he stopped at Kumarahatta. He personally came to the house of Srivas Thakur. Srivas had three brothers, Sri Ram, Sri Prati, Sri Nidhi. The four of them were constantly immersed in one of two activities, hearing and chanting Srimad Bhagavatam and Harinam Sankirtan. That was their life and soul. Therefore, in truth, their house was Vrindavan. Wherever the devotees are sincerely gathered together to hear and chant the glories of the Lord, that atmosphere becomes transformed into Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya was very eager to come to the home of Srivas. When he arrived, many devotees who were living in that area came to meet the Lord. One of them was Vasudev Datta, the father of Mukunda Dutt. Vasudev Dutt, when Lord Chaitanya saw him, he embraced him with such sweet love. Because Vasudev Dutt was so selfless, his only ambition in life was to serve others by giving them higher realizations of Krishna. He had no personal ambitions for himself. He simply wanted to serve others. In fact, when he had money, he would just give it all away. And he would put himself into poverty. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya asked, I believe it was Shivananda Singh, to be his accountant and actually take care of his money for him. Because whatever would come, he'd just give it, give it, give it. He had no thought for himself. And of course, in Puri, Vasudev Dutt prayed, I have one request. My Lord, one prayer that is burning in my heart. Let all the sinful karma of all living entities come on my head and take everyone in the universe back home, back to Godhood. You have the power to do so. Lord Chaitanya Singh, the genuine selfless desire to serve others, in Vasudev Dutt, he began to weep uncontrollably. On this particular day, in Kumarahatta, at the house of Srivas Thakur, Lord Chaitanya proclaimed several times that my body is Vasudev Dutt's property. If he wants to sell me anywhere, I am sold. I am simply Vasudev Dutt's man. I am his property. The devotees were in great, great joy to hear the Lord appreciating his devotees.
In fact, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's great pastime of love is to glorify the qualities of his devotees. Lord Chaitanya took note of Srivas Thakur's lifestyle. All he did was just read Srimad Bhagavatam and have Harinam Sankirtan. Lord Chaitanya said to Srivas, "You have a big family. How do you maintain it? You have to go out and you have to do some sort of effort to maintain every grihastha. That is their duty." Srivas Thakur replied, smiling very blissfully, that "I have no desire to leave this house." Lord Chaitanya said, "But you have to go out and do some work. At least go out and beg something." Srivas just smiled. Lord Chaitanya said, "Then you should take sannyas. You're not going to work. You're not going to maintain your family. Then you take sannyas." He said, "No, I have no qualification to take sannyas." "Then how will you maintain this large family of yours? Tell me, how will you maintain them?" Srivas Thakur smiled. And he answered by saying, "One, two, three." While he clapped his hands. One, two, three. Not four, three. This was a mystery even to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Said, "I've asked you a question, Srivas. How will you maintain your family?" Srivas smiled. One, two, three. Lord Chaitanya asked, "What is this 1, 2, 3? I do not understand." Srivas said, "If three times I am not provided with what I need, if for three times myself or my family have to fast, then on that day I will tie a pot around my neck and drown myself in the river Ganga." When Gauranga Mahaprabhu heard this, he roared in ecstasy. He said, "Srivas, what faith you have in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even if there is such a drought and the world is put in such a condemned situation of poverty that the goddess Lakshmi herself has to go with a begging bowl door to door for her maintenance, I promise that your house will never be bereft of opulence." "Why should you be? You are completely depending on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There will be nothing lacking in your home." "Ananyaschintayanto mam." He quoted this beautiful verse from Sri Bhagavad Gita. "That for one who is my devotee and worships me with love, I protect what they have and I carry what they lack." Lord Chaitanya told Srivas in the presence of all the devotees that because of your complete faith in my mercy and the chanting of the holy names, I personally vow that I will provide all the necessities for you and your family. There is no need for you to do anything except hear Srimad Bhagavatam and chant the holy name. Of course,
If you do not have the faith and the devotion similar to Srivas Thakur, and you artificially become lazy and don't work for your families, then certainly you will starve and die. But because they had that faith, and they were literally practically 24 hours a day engrossed in full consciousness, in hearing and chanting Srimad Bhagavatam, dancing and singing the holy names, therefore Krishna was pleased. He is Lakshminath. He is the husband of the goddess of fortune. He can provide anything and everything for his devotee. You know the story of Sanatan Goswami. He was just picked up some old rubbish cloth and put it around his body as his only clothes. He was sleeping under trees on the ground near the banks of Jamuna. He was begging, doing madhukari, getting some simple unsalted roti as his only food. But yet the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his form of Madan Mohan, who is being worshipped quite opulently in the house of a Chobi Brahmin in Mathura, decided he wanted to live with Sanatan Goswami instead. His temple was just standing under a tree, getting some simple rotis of Sanatan. But Sanatan Goswami, although he wanted absolutely nothing for himself, he desired a better situation for the Lord. And the Lord, by his own arrangement, sent this Mr. Kapoor on his boat to get stuck, and later on built the Madan Mohan temple and sponsored all the worship of the deities. So for one who has this faith and devotion, Krishna supplies. This was Srivas. Then Lord Chaitanya turned to Ramai Pandit, the brother of Srivas, and gave him an instruction. He said, "You are very, very, very dear to my heart. Therefore, I give you this direction. You should always serve your elder brother, Srivas Thakur. You should never leave his association. You should always satisfy him by your devotional efforts." Again, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to show that if you're really, really dear to his heart, he will bless you by giving you the role of the servant of the servant of his servants. When the devotees heard this benediction given to Sri Ram Pandit, they were filled with joy. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent many days at Srivas Thakur's house, chanting and dancing with the devotees, and then returned to Jagannath Puri. So it is getting late. I will stop here. These pastimes are very beautiful, because they show the world such essential messages. The philosophy of Krishna consciousness is perfectly manifested in simple means within the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, Vedavyas compiled the and divided the four Vedas. He wrote the Upanishads. But he understood that in the age of Kali, people are generally not so philosophical. So he revealed the transcendental messages of the Holy Scriptures with all the philosophy within the form of beautiful stories. Because actually, the relationships between the Lord and his devotees and the teachings he provides the world through those relationships are perfect and complete. And they are practical and historical as well. Knowledge in and of itself, when we read from the books, is theoretical. But when they are exhibited by devotees, they become very real, very practical, very alive. Therefore, Krishna teaches the world through the life of his devotees. And who is Srivast Thakur? He is the incarnation of Narada Muni. And his brother, Sri Ram Pandit, is the incarnation of Parvat Muni, the dear friend of Narada Muni. Sripad Narada Muni's occupation is simply traveling here, there, and everywhere, playing upon his veena, chanting the holy name. Even when he was cursed by Daksha, Daksha made several mistakes in his life. Such a powerful man. Can you imagine the power of Daksha? He could curse Narada Muni, and the curse stuck with him. But Narada Muni was ecstatic. He got the curse. He couldn't stay in one place. Because Daksha is an attached householder. He was very much having satisfaction living in his home. So for him, pleasure means staying at home. Therefore, Narada Muni, you'll never have a home. You'll never be able to stay anywhere. But Narada Muni's home was in the heart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because he was always pleasing him by spreading the glories of the Lord's names and pastimes and teachings. The Lord also wanted to teach us the forgiving nature of a Vaishnava and how the Lord does not tolerate an offense to a Vaishnava through Srivast. In fact, some of the biggest offenders of Lord Chaitanya's Leela were offenders to Srivast Thakur. There was Gopal Chapala, who put the tantric puja of Durga Devi on the front lawn of Srivast's house at night, thinking when people wake up to take their bath in the Ganges, they will see all this. And then they will feel that Srivast Thakur is simply a cheater, an imitationist. He's actually doing mundane tantric rituals to Goddess Durga to fulfill his own sinful desires. But he's posing himself as a great devotee. So Srivast Thakur, very different from the rest of us, who try to defend our position. Even if someone says something correct about us, if it's not what we like, we'll defend it with such fury. That is the nature of the ego. But Srivast, there was all these blasphemous lies against him.
But he showed what is the substance of a person who's dear to Krishna. He actually called all the people of Navadvip and said, I want to show you what I do at night. This is it. I'm actually a cheater. I actually do this tantric pujas. So everything has to come out in due course of time. But no one believed him, because he was so honest, he was so sincere. The people of the town cleaned his yard, washed it with cow dung, and they actually loved him even more. But Gopal Chapala, because of this offense, he contracted leprosy, horrible disease. He was banished from the community. He was a very popular, learned, young, beautiful Brahmin with opulence. And now he was banished to live in seclusion on the ground of the Ganga, suffering miserable pain. When Lord Chaitanya was walking by, Gopal Chapo begged, please forgive me, give me your mercy. I can't tolerate this suffering any longer. Lord Chaitanya told Gopal Chapala that for the offense you have committed to Srivas, I give you the benediction that you will suffer worse misery than this for the next 10 million births. Then he walked away. Hare Krishna. He is Patita Pavana Avatar. He is most merciful to the most fallen. This was his mercy. It's not just some mundane sentimental mercy. His mercy was to teach Gopal Chapala a good lesson so that he would actually rectify himself. Ultimately, he told Gopal Chapala, if you offend someone like Srivas Thakur, such a devotee, the Supreme Lord cannot deliver you. Only if he forgives you, only if you repent, if you admit that you're wrong, if you rectify your mistakes, in that spirit, if you beg forgiveness, you will be forgiven. So from the very
a rascal, I'm a demon, I insulted you. Please forgive me. My heart has changed. Srivas picked him up and embraced that leper. By his mercy, his leprosy disappeared and he attained pure devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is what the Lord taught through Srivas Thakur. If you please his devotee, the treasure of love of God will be yours in due course. If you offend a devotee, the mercy of the Lord is impossible to achieve. Today we have a wonderful devotee with us, Chandramali Maharaj. We would like to ask you to speak something, if you so desire.
Hare Krishna. To hear the wonderful pastimes of Srivas Thakur from His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, it's wonderful to hear Chaitanya Leela. It just brings us right to the essence of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. There are so many wonderful stories, and Maharaj spoke so nicely and covered so many. There's one little pastime. We're in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This was right after he came back from Gaya, from receiving initiation from Ishwara Puri. At that time he was experiencing the ecstatic symptoms of love of God. And his mother, Sachi Mata, was very worried. She had never seen him in this condition before, and she was in great confusion, bewilderment, anxiety. Of course, the Lord didn't reveal to her or anyone what he was going through. And so she decided to find out what was wrong with her son. She was thinking that there's something wrong with him. He's crying just without any cause. He's rolling on the ground. He's exhibiting all the symptoms of ecstatic love as mentioned in the scriptures, Bhakti Rasamrita Sinta. And so she decided to see if there was some analysis to determine what's wrong with her son. So she called various pundits, Kavirajas, in order to get some understanding. So Lord Chaitanya, he submitted a dutiful son to his mother's request. And everyone had an opinion. Of course, if you ask someone anything, even if they don't know anything, they still have an opinion. So, one person was saying, well, you should bathe him in various types of oils. Actually, what he has is a wind disorder. And if you just bathe him in these different various types of herbal oils, and then this will help cure it. And others were saying, no, actually, you should rub Shiva ghee on his head. this is actually the cure. So everyone had given in their opinions. And Lord Chaitanya was becoming a little bit disturbed by all these analyses. And so Sachi Mata didn't know what to do. Because everything she tried, of course, love of God has no cure. It is the cure. If you get love of God, you're cured. It's not a disease, it's actually the cure from all ailments. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was submitting to his mother's various treatments. But he was feeling somewhat unhappy about it. So finally, Chachi Mata decided to ask Srivastakur. Srivastakur, she had a lot of faith in him. So she asked him, please find out what's wrong with my son. I've tried so many symptoms, ailments, but nothing is working. So please, you find out what's wrong with him. So Srivastakur, Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya said to Srivastakur, what's wrong with me? And Srivastakur said, actually, you have a very rare disease. And practically, it's incurable. It's a very rare disease. What you have is something very wonderful, actually. Your disease is that you have ecstatic love for Lord Sri Krishna. Well, Lord Chaitanya heard that, and he became so happy. He became so joyous that he said, Srivastakur, if you would have told me that I had this wind disease, I would have jumped into Ganges and drowned myself on this day. But actually, you have me please the Lord by actually explaining to him that actually what he had was something that we all desire to have. The ecstatic, loving relationship with the Lord. So in this way he pleased the Lord in so many ways. Of course, this is another story with Devananda Pandit, but I don't think we have time for that. That's a very long story. But Shivas Thakur, as explained by His Holiness Raghunath Maharaj, was the ideal grihastha. His faith in Lord Chaitanya, his detachment from all the external amenities, manifestations of grihastha life, and his complete absorption in the devotional service to the Lord is actually an example for all of us. We get our examples, we get our inspirations, we get our enthusiasm to move forward on the path of devotional service by hearing from the great lives of these devotees and how they executed their devotional service in complete detachment from all worldly activities. And yet, there was nothing lacking. There was nothing lacking. This morning, one devotee was telling me that in India now there's some economic crunch. People are experiencing some problems, political, social, economic problems, very severe, and people are in anxiety. But actually, this is good. It's actually good. It's an opportunity to actually see the futility of such success in these adventures. When Krishna, through the agencies of the material energy, somehow or other makes things a little difficult, and it's an opportunity to actually to come closer to Krishna in devotional service, to actually see that actually these things are actually a great burden. The success in material activities devoid of devotional service is simply another, it's an impediment on the path of devotional service. Material success is an impediment. It's a great impediment. In fact, material distress is not an impediment as much as material success is. Material success creates the illusion that there's something here that is desirable, that there's something here that I can be successful with, there's something here that I can find satisfaction in. But then, of course, through the agency of the material energy and through the influence of time, we find that things somehow or other come back to their real situation. It falls apart. And that is Krishna's mercy. That is Krishna's special mercy. And Krishna takes away the crutches of the conditioned soul. And then one who is actually a little bit intelligent will actually turn to Krishna and understand that, yes, thank you, my Lord. This is a special mercy upon me so I can really understand what is my true happiness and what is my true relationship with you. So when material energy turns a ferocious or difficult face, it is actually a blessing upon those who are understanding what is the true goal of life. It helps us become more engaged and more attached to the lotus feet of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. His Holiness Raghunath Maharaj ki jai. Srivas Pandit's disappearance day ki jai.
His Holiness Chandramali Swami Maharaj ki jai.